Numbers chapter 32. Well, they say it's going to get cold again. We're going to have rain tonight and tomorrow, thunderstorms, cold front coming through. Man, that's March for you, though. Won't be long. Won't be long. We'll get through it, get back to them warm days, and spoiling us just a little bit. Numbers chapter 32. Verse 20, the Bible says, "And Moses said unto them, If you will do this thing, if you will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord, until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if ye do not so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sins will find you out." Heavenly Father, we thank you for our fellowship, our singing, and just thank you for all you do for us, Lord, for salvation, providing for our needs, answering prayer, Lord, healing the sick, and we're thankful for all those things. Lord, help us now look to your word, be encouraged by your word, and I just pray our lives, Lord, be in accordance with your will, Lord, that where repentance is needed, Lord, we'll repent, and Lord, that so you can use us, Lord, have our hearts prepared here, and I ask it in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message this morning is Found Out, and the key verse is in verse 23, where he said, he was talking to the Israelites, said, "But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord." And he said this, "And be sure your sins will find you out." Be sure your sins will find you out. You know, we're living in a world today that where there's hardly nothing that's sin. Not in the world's eyes. I mean, what the world thinks is sin. Hardly anything is sin. It's like, I remember talking with a lady one time, went to visit him. Actually, Dwayne, it was some neighbors of yours, went to talk to him about the Lord. And the lady said, "Well, you know, the Bible is subjective." And I said, "No, ma'am." I said, "It's not subjective." That means subjective means it like just changes with the times and all. I said, no, it doesn't. It stays the same. The times change. And what we used to say was sin years ago, according to the Word of God. Now the world says it's not sin. So we see, so we see things the world thinks is not sin at all. And then we see this where even as Christians, we got to be careful about this right here. This one thing is that we kind of view sin as not, you know, we got a scale for it. It's not a bad thing. You know, well, you know, it's not that bad. I mean, that's, you know, that's kind of a phrase. Like, it doesn't matter. Well, it's little sins and little white lies. And, you know, we do like that. We tone it down. And, I mean, there's a danger with that. Because just say we say something looks like a minor sin. Well, then, guess what? That's going to get on a sliding scale, too. And pretty soon, you know, something that we would have thought 10 years ago or 20 years ago was a more severe sin, even though they're all sin, we know the truth. We'll think, well, that's not that bad, all right? And then it's like, then another 20, 30 years goes along, and the sins we thought were bad then, next thing you know, we're at this point in history. Well, that's not that bad. That's what's happened to us. We've got sin, and so we don't understand, you know, what it is. A definition of sin is the transgression of divine law, which transgression against God's word, an immoral act. And see, now if you don't go by the word of God, what is immoral? Well, it'll be what you think. Your opinion. Man's opinion. Think about the pea brains that we have. I mean, we got a finite mind and an infinite God. We got a finite mind. So what I think and what you think. Well, what if you think what I think is different? Now what are we going to do? Now we got a problem. And then you get a third person in there. What if they think something else? Who's right? What's sin? I mean, it's that is subjective to whatever somebody says. But we got the Word of God. We've got the Word of God. It's dead on. It's solid. It's the rock. We've got the Word of God that tells us what sin is. And so if we don't stick with the Word of God, we're going on somebody else's opinion. And if it's not based on the Word of God, I'm going to tell you what, they're wrong. They're wrong about it. And so it's the transgression of divine law, an immoral act, a deliberate violation of a religious or moral principle. This is a definition. And then it finally just says rebellion against God. Not doing what God desires us to do, doing opposite of, or doing what God says not to do. And you know, like when, and a lot of people are like this, I've probably shared this with you, I know I have before, but you know, when I was kind of grew up and as a kid, when I was a kid, you know, I just kind of thought, well, everybody's going to go to heaven when they die. That philosophy, that thought is prevalent in the world, even in the adult world today, because everybody that dies, everybody says, well, they're going to a better place. Whether they saved or not, whether they knew the Lord or anything like that, they're going to a better place. So we all think that. I just thought, well, you know, we die, we're all going to heaven. But you know, I knew there was a hell, and I believed it. And people talked about it, and I just figured, well, if you did either too many bad things, or if you did something really bad, like when I was a kid, man, I thought, well, if you murdered somebody, you're done, man. You're toast. You're not going to heaven. I mean, I didn't know anything about forgiveness. You know, about God's forgiveness. I just thought that was one of the things. I even thought when I was a kid, this is the truth, I thought if you took the Lord's name in vain, you know what I'm talking about. I thought, well, that, you know, you're just going to hell. That's it. Even though when I got older, that thought stuck in my mind even before salvation. I mean, I've said every other word that you could say, but even in my foul spewings, when I smashed my finger with a hammer or something, I never said that. I just thought, you know, because I just thought this was like one of them sins. There's some kind of sin. Or and then we thought maybe if we did so many sins that somewhere along the line we got to this number and now it's too late. I don't know what the number was. It was on a sliding scale too. Everybody would have it on a sliding scale. Well, I didn't do that many. I'm not as bad as so-and-so. I'm not as bad as, at least I'm not as bad as the rest, right? We think about that. And so that's what I thought, and a lot of us might have thought that way until, of course, I got saved and, found out. And even, I tell you what, even when I found out that I had to be saved, I needed to be saved, you know, I mean, you learn that we were born lost, you know, that we're just born lost. We're not born saved on our way to heaven. We're born lost on our way to hell until we find out the saving grace. That's why we have to be saved, right? We have to be saved. And I found this out, and I didn't really, even I think when I first got saved, I still thought that the biggest problem was my sins, the sins I committed. That's not my biggest problem. That's not your biggest problem. Your biggest problem is the sin nature. See, I just thought I was being saved from my sins that I committed. No, you're being forgiven for the sins you committed. You're being saved from what you are. And I didn't learn that. I was a long way in my Christian life before I really got a grip on that. So here's the thing. We need salvation from what we are. We're sinners, man. We're born. We inherited our nature from our first parents, Adam and Eve. When they sinned, the sin nature became on all their children. We're all, hey, believe it or not, guess, look around. We're all related. Huh? We are. All right, so we got our nature, our sin nature from our parents. We're born that way. Amen. I didn't understand that. We're born that way. So what happens is, and that's why we sin. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. See, that's what we do. And so we needed salvation from, we needed forgiveness from our sins. We needed salvation from what we are. More than what we've done. I put it this way. We need salvation from what we are. We need forgiveness for what we've done. That's what we need. But salvation entails all of that. And, you know, when I thought about that. So, you know, we think about, though, sin. And so many people today, nobody wants to go to hell. It's got a marble in their head. I mean, anybody in their right mind, I don't want to go to hell. But they... they just think so. You know, we get people thinking, hey, you don't want to go to hell? No, I need to get saved. But, man, listen, we don't deal with sin. You got to deal with, I mean, when Jesus saves us, he saves us out of our sin, not in it. He doesn't leave us in it. And repentance and faith. I mean, when you look at all the repentance and faith verses in the Bible, it says repent. I mean, we got to turn to God in faith. We're repenting, turning and changing our mind about sin and changing our mind about God and who He is. And we repent and we turn to that. We, you know, and that's really what salvation is, man. Listen, you get saved and you just go on living your same old life the way you always did. You never got saved. You never got saved. And so it's, we've got to, you know, get this thing. We start thinking about it, and there's a transformation that takes place. The Holy Spirit's given. You can't help it. You can't help but turn from your sin. Man, if you're still enjoying that old life, you're lost. That's just the way it is. I'm not saying temptations come along, and I'm not talking about slipping up once here and there. I'm talking about where the life is the same. Nothing's ever changed in your life. And that is, and so we're still lost. Now, listen, sin's got a cause, and that's that old sin nature. Satan's in on this deal. It's that old sin. But sin also has an effect. There's a cause and there's an effect. And I'm going to tell you something, you can't escape it. You get into sin, I'm going to tell you what, there's an effect. Saved or not, there is an effect. And you can't run from it. You can't hide from it. And the Bible, our text says right there, be sure your sin will find you out. It will find you out. Now listen, God knows, I'm going to tell you right now, you ain't hiding from God. And I'll give you a few other things. There's a payment for sin. And we may escape the laws of men, but you cannot escape the law of God. You cannot. I'm going to give you a few things, how your sin finds you out. How will our sin find us out? The very first thing is, this isn't an alliterated outline, but bear with me. The number one is human law. Human law. Now, we know our laws aren't perfect, right? Those aren't perfect. Sometimes people get arrested. Sometimes people get locked up, and they didn't actually commit the crime. It's overlooked, but that's rarer than you know, really find out. But your sin, people that live in a lifestyle of sin, they get found out sometimes by the laws of man. When I was a boy, I grew up with a guy named Donald Jackson. He was one of my best friends, still is. I still keep in touch with him. He became a preacher too. He was pastoring church for a while. He's not now, but we grew up and down the street. And he had an older brother named David. And man, we knew each other since we were just little kids and played together and grew up. And his brother David got married and they had a little baby. Him and his wife had a baby, and they were going down Bonnie Road in Virginia Beach one night. He fell asleep, hit a tree, killed him. Linda and the baby lived. And she later down the road, she remarried, married a police officer, Stanley Bennett. And little David grew up, man. He was like 10, 12 years old. Of course, we were older than him. We were teenagers, man. We'd rough him up, man. We messed with him all the time, you know, pulled jokes on him and stuff. But he was like the whiz kid. You know them kids that just got it going on, man. This guy played shortstop on the Little League team. Donald was a drummer. Donald played music. Donald taught him how to play the drums. He played drums and everything. And, you know, we just roughed. He was over there a lot, you know, played with him. But anyway, some of Stanley's folks were from the Eastern Shore of Virginia, and he was over there, and he went missing. This happened. I was in the service by then. I was overseas, and he got missing. They couldn't find him. A lot of people were going over there looking for him, and they found him in a ditch, not about 500 yards from the house. Somebody put a shotgun in his mouth and pulled the trigger, killed him. Well, they never found out who it was. They couldn't find out. But some years went by, and this guy that was in prison in Delaware, he had got locked up for something else. And he was, you know, he confessed. He told the story to another inmate that he was in the cell with. A lot of them inmates don't look too kindly on somebody doing anything to kids. And that guy turned him in. He was already in jail. His sins had already found him out under human laws. He'd already found out about it, but see, it all come around. He lived a lifestyle of sin, a lifestyle of crime, and he got found out. And then he confessed that crime of killing little David. And you think, well, you know what, boy, he really paid. I'm going to tell you something, man. Sin has an effect on other people. Not only the instant grief of his parents and grandparents and the rest of us that knew him, Mr. Jackson, years later, Mr. Jackson became, he was quiet. He worked at Naval Air Station with my mother. I knew these people. Listen, I knew all of them. I know Linda and Stanley, they had another son. I know him. If you ever go to Virginia Beach, he owns the Surfrider restaurants down there. But I knew all these people. And Mr. Jackson worked with where my mom worked at Norfolk Naval Air Station. He became withdrawn. He became quiet. He became kind of bitter. And down the road, later on, Donald told me the whole story. He said one day he called his dad. He was staying at home at the time. He called his dad, said, "Hey, I'm coming home okay." So he had a timeline. But he said, for some reason, he said, "I always drove real slow on the way home from work." He said, "Man, I was hauling freight trying to get home." And he said, "I usually go in the back door, but I open the garage. And the garage had one of them little lofts like they would build in some of the houses at the back of the garage. When he opened the door, his dad had hung himself. He was hanging in the door. But he knew it only been a few, he'd known it only been a few minutes. And he got him down, and he saved his life. And it affected him where he was like in a dream state. It messed his voice up a little bit. I talked to him after that. But anyway, they went to the doctor. And the psychology of it was when little David was killed. Now here, this man had lost his oldest son. Well, it had been his firstborn son. And now he's lost his grandson from that son. And Mrs. Jackson, she grieved about it. Donald said he grieved. They cried. But Mr. Jackson didn't. He held it all in. And eventually it led him to, you know, because he hadn't released it, you know, he just tried to take his own life. That was the effect. That was the effect of sin, of one man's sin. But human laws will reveal our sin and find us out. And then you find out that sin is multiplied into other sin. You know, so we know that human laws can do it. Another way we're found out is in our own bodies. In our own bodies. They have found out there's a connection between morality and health. They found that out. There's a connection between your morality and your health. Now listen, before I go farther, not every health problem that somebody has is sin. There's a man in the Bible. There's a good text in the Bible. I started to use it for something else, but where the Pharisees questioned Jesus about a man that was born blind. And they said, "Well, who sinned, this man or his parents?" He said, "Neither one." And he didn't mean that they didn't have any sin. He just mean that blindness wasn't the cause of it. He said that he was born blind for the glory of God. He said, for the glory of God. So not every health problem is a result of it. But, you know, a lot of things that we do are. You know, we look alcoholism, man, people drink themselves to death, man, what happens? You know, all kind of problems, man. You can have all, you know, liver problems. You can get the road I grew up on. I grew up in a neighborhood in Virginia Beach, little brick houses, you know, nice houses. Donald lived at one end and I lived at the other. And in the middle was another friend of mine, just died a few years ago, Bo Barber. His mom was an alcoholic. He was the first one of us that snuck in. Well, my parents didn't have liquor in the house, at least not so you could find it, but I don't know. But Donald's mom had it. Man, Bo, football game, I'll never forget, Friday night, Bayside High School, man, there's old Bo, man, he's out there. I said, "What in the world, man?" He got into his mom and dad's liquor cabinet, swigged a bunch of it down. You know, okay, you think, well, one little instant time, he got some. No, he became an alcoholic. Not only was he an alcoholic, he wasn't saved. I witnessed to him. Donald witnessed to him. He died just a couple years ago. You know what he died of? Cirrhosis of the liver. Because he drank. You couldn't call him. You couldn't talk to him in the afternoon. You couldn't call him. He'd get belligerent. He'd be belligerent. We tried to witness to him in the morning. I mean, here it was. What happened? The sins of the parents carried on over to the sins of the children, and then the sins of, and those type sins that affected his body, and you know, drugs, man. I mean, listen, I watch these things on television. These meth heads sitting there bawling. They got a tooth in their head, look like they're 40, 50 years older than they are, because they've been smoking meth, shooting meth, taking meth, and lost all their teeth. hair falling out, and they can't quit. And they can't quit. They're crying, and they got to go get another heroin addict. It's the same way. All kind of drugs, man, these things. You know what? What happens? There's sin. Their sin of alcoholism, their sin of drug addiction is showing up in their bodies. You know, you can't hide it. It's and they want to quit, and they can't see their way to get out of it. And a lot of people, you think, well, how do they get into it? How do they get into it? Well, you know what? A lot of times you lie to yourself. You say, well, you know, it's going to be different with me. Because in our pride and our conceit, I'm stronger than them. I'm stronger. Now, I say this all the time. No alcoholic laying in the gutter, no drug head laying there with their teeth all gone, decided, hey, this is what I want to do with my life. Hey, you know what? I just want to be homeless, living in dirt, and have all my teeth and hair fall out and be addicted to some kind. They never started out saying that. No alcoholic said, hey, I just want to be an old alcoholic laying there, throwing up all over myself, laying in a ditch somewhere, and die with cirrhosis of the liver. Who thought when we was little boys, who thought that before he was 70 years old, Bo didn't think he was going to be dead. Kevin, right across the street from Bo, Kevin Ryan, first one of us, he started smoking when he was real young. Smoke. Well, he died of lung cancer. Your body will tell on you. Your body tells the tale, you know, and those things happen. And people think they're going to be the exception. I remember just a few years ago, well, it's more than a few years ago, it was on the other side. Some of y'all remember this. I was working at Connex down here, and I was welding a nuclear power piping, and I'd stop at Virginia Market every day and get me a coffee, big coffee on the way home. And there was a girl in there. We got talking. She knew I was a preacher. She worked behind the counter. One day I went in there, and she goes, hey, I want you to pray if you would pray for my father-in-law. He's got cancer. I said, sure. I said, where does he live? She told me. I said, well, I'll go visit him. She said, all right. That'd be great. So I went over and visited him, and him and his wife came. And they came over there, and they sat on the other side. Man, he was already in bad shape. I mean, he was sweating like mad. I mean, he was just sweating bullets. Ended up in the hospital. Stanley, you and I went down there to see him one time, and I'm telling you what, he was breathing. He was laying in bed, and they had him on this breathe. He was breathing like somebody had run 100 miles an hour. Like he'd run 100 miles an hour. And I thought, man, alive, I don't know how you could breathe that long. He got calmed down. He was literally drowning in his own blood. That's what the doctor told me. He said that we got to suck the clots out of his lungs every so often because, you know, he just fills up with blood. I mean, it's awful. But there's his family. Bunch of the family standing there looking at that. He's breathing. He come in there with a tube thing. Sounded awful. He said, well, we'll be back in a few minutes. They go all down there over at the cancer center there in Roanoke. They go out to that little Etta, little thing in the middle of it that time. And they'd be out there, ah, ooh, yeah, they joking and coking. I went down there. I was going out of the hospital. I just, you know how I am, man. I just went over there, and I'm worse. I'm not as bad now as I used to be. But I went over there, and I said, what are y'all? I said, y'all out of your mind? They said, what? I said, you sit up there and watch Jimmy drowning in his own blood, and you come down here and start smoking cigarettes? I said, I'm going to tell you what, if I was a smoker, I would quit today. Today. Watching somebody die like that. I said, good night, man. This is, and they like looked at me like. And I just went on to the car. I doubt any of them quit. But, and you think, oh, man, I mean, it was awful. Well, you know what somebody's going to say? Well, you know, preacher, the Bible doesn't say that you can't smoke. It don't. But the Bible does say that your body is the temple of the Spirit. And if any man defile the Spirit, him will God destroy. Amen. That's what it says.
Amen. Huh? Amen.
And you may not go to hell, but you'll smell like you've been there. That's what my pastor used to always say. Huh? Man, it's all over your hair. Some people that smoke, I'm going to tell you what, they don't even need, they could save money on cigarettes. Just take your hair and stick it up there under your nose. Huh? You get all you want. Huh? All over your hair, all over your clothes. If you're driving around smoking, I'm going to crack the window. It won't be. I won't buy a car if somebody been in there smoking in that thing, man. Stink to high heaven. You'll never get it out of the air conditioning system. Never get it out of your clothes. Never get it out of your house. My dad smoked, man, I'm going to tell you what, I painted the whole house. We scrubbed everything from top to bottom. We had to go up underneath the dining room table and wipe the underneath, and the rag had yellow on it. I painted, even in one bedroom, the closet, the door stayed shut, and the closet door was shut, and there was yellow stain around the bottom of the baseboard in the closet. We had to just replace everything. And sometimes now on a hot day, you can open up the back door between the storm door and the door, and I painted all that. You get just a slight whiff of that good old nicotine, huh? Ruins everything, huh? You can defile the temple. You can defile, and not only with that, with anything. You can defile this temple that God gave us, right? And so your sins will be found out by your body. You can be sure. What the sin of anger. Anger. You get hurt there too, right? You hurt yourself. Get so mad. I got scars. So aggravated about something. Yeah, take me down to the hospital. I got to get stitches in my little finger. Huh? Yeah, busted up an old antique mirror one time, cut myself, sold one of Sherry's cars, had my fist print. A perfect little end thing. Looked like the cartoons, man. You can see where my knuckles went through there and everything, right through the dash. Stupid. Cost money. We didn't fix it. We just sold it with a fist mark, and should have charged them extra money for that. Huh? Or you go off the deep end and you hurt somebody else. Kill somebody just, you know, in a rage, doing something stupid. Man, listen, anger. You're seeing your blood. And if not only that, if you got that blood pressure, nerves, stroke, all because that sin of uncontrolled anger in your body. You can't hide. Your sin will find you out. There's another place, area your sin will find you out, your conscience. See, you can get away with sin. You know, there's sins you get away, like you probably do now. Huh? Nobody else knows about it. Oh, yeah. There's two people that know already, you and God. Huh? Your conscience. You can sin against your neighbor. Listen, you can cheat people in business. Huh? You can run around and have an affair with somebody else's spouse and not get caught by man, but I'm going to tell you what, that old conscience, huh? You'll not get away. You'll not get away with that conscience, and it'll wear you out until your dying day. I mean, if you don't come to Christ and get to the place where you can forgive yourself, your conscience knows. So you can hide it from everybody else, but you can't hide it from God, and you can't hide it from yourself. And you think, oh, well, that won't be bad. No, it might wear you. It might wear you out the rest of your life. It might wear you out the rest of your life. An accusing conscience literally can drive people insane, and has driven people insane. And you can, man, you can drink it up and party and try to drown it out where you don't think about it. Huh? You can go on vacations and try to invent every kind of distraction that you can come up with to try to get this off your mind and drown it out. It won't happen. It won't happen. Your sin will find you out. Another area that your sin will be found out is in your character. In your character. Sin causes a breakdown in character. Like I said, you might sin in private and think you're not hurting anybody else. You're not doing any sin, no harm to anybody else. And nobody's ever going to know. But it will find you out. You sit around, watch pornography all you want to. You think, oh man, nobody knows about it but me. It ain't hurting anybody but me. It'll show up in your character. It will. Not only that, you're supporting the industry that's dragging men and women off into it by the thousands every year because the money's good. Because the money's good, yeah. Prostitutes standing around on streets, corners now, they know what they're doing's wrong. Yeah, we know. If you ask, you know it's sin, yeah. Why do you do it? Money's good. Because the money's good, right? Yeah, you trip off and go off and go out of town and find some woman somewhere, pay for things, and who you hurting? Her, you. society because we're supporting it. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing it to start with, right? If the money wasn't good, by their own statement, if the money wasn't good, they wouldn't do it. If the money wasn't good, they wouldn't do it. See, so when you see things, you know, your mind's scarred. You can't get it out of there. You see all kind of filth and corruption. Let me tell you what, you dirtied up your mind. Huh? You can't get it out. It's there. It's in your mind. What you hear, just what you hear, what you participate in, it affects your character. You cannot violate the laws of God. You cannot violate the laws of purity, God's laws of purity, without an effect on your own self. You may think you're different. You may think you're special. You may think you're smarter and you may think you're stronger, but your sins will find you out. They'll find you out. And continuing in sin, you will become what you are. You will become what you are. Another area that your sins will find you out is in your children. See, your children live with you all the time. So you can put a good show on when you come out to church or when you get out in public, but what are you doing at home? What do you see at home? You may hide everything in public. I remember my pastor, he told a story. He used to tell this story when he was on a topic like this about this man that would come home every day, and right up the road from his house, kind of like the sidetrack bar or whatever, it was a little bar down the road from his house. And he would go up there every day. He'd get home and he'd go up to the bar. And one day there was snow on the ground. And he was walking along and he was going. He looked back behind him and here come his son, little son. And he was putting his feet in his prints of his daddy's shoe prints when he was walking. He said, he looked back, he said, ask him whatever his name was, Johnny, whatever. He said, what are you doing? He said, I'm following in your footsteps. Yeah, daddy turned around, took him by the hand, took him back home. Didn't go down there anymore. See, Bo's mother, a good example. Like I say, Bo's mom, she was an alcoholic till the day she died. He grew up in that. He saw that. Doesn't mean everybody's going to do that, but your sins can find you out that way. And so, what kind of language do you use around the house? Now, I'm going to tell you what, man. So, show me somebody that slips up with their language when something goes bad. I'm going to tell you something. They're using it elsewhere. They're using it regularly. It ain't a slip up. It's a continuation. Amen. Amen. If you got children, grandchildren, they hear what you say. What about your attitude? There's sins of attitude, right? You have a bad attitude. How do you speak to your spouse? And I'm not talking about just the husbands, the way they speak to their wives. What about the wives? How do you speak to your husband? How do you speak to your husband? What do your children see? That'll come back to you. So your sins may show up in your children. It's not that they would be, like the Bible talks about that. We talked about it. They're not punished for the parents' sins, but their sins can become the parents' sins can become the children's sin. And then another place where we can be found out will be eternity, in eternity. One more place. Listen, this isn't all the life there is. What we're doing here, it's not everything. We've got a life in eternity somewhere. And our acts and their consequences are going to follow us into eternity. And if our sins aren't found out here, they will be found out there. If you don't come to Jesus in repentance and faith, the Bible says you'll reap what you sow. You're going to reap what you sow. You may be reaping what you sown in your children now. You may be. And it seems like, you know, we look around the world today and it seems like that the wicked people are just getting away with everything, doesn't it? I mean, you look around and just so much crime and stuff and these people, it starts affecting people's attitudes about things. And then you see other people doing it. Well, why can't I do it? Well, if you're saved, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be doing what, you know, there's a whole lot of what the society's doing we shouldn't be doing, let me tell you that. More than we should, you know, more things we shouldn't do. But we look around, we think, boy, one day, you know, but guess what? One day they're going to be called to give an account. They're going to stand before the Lord one day. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The Lord knows. The Lord knows it. People today, man, they're laughing at the Christians, mocking the Christians like they did Jesus, mocking the Word of God, trodden underfoot, the Son of Man, as the Bible says. But one day their sins are going to find them out. Those sins will find them out. 2 Thessalonians 17:9, the Bible says, the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flames of fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. I like that verse right there. It says, you taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not talking work salvation, but it's talking about the reality of true salvation produces obedience in the life of the believer. That's the evidence of salvation. That's the evidence of salvation. He's going to take vengeance. And then Luke 13:3 says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Ye shall all likewise perish. That means everlasting perishing. It's not a one-time perish and that's it. No, it's eternity in a Christless hell. That's what that's talking about. Repentance includes turning to God from your sins. That's what we're being saved from. What are you being saved from? Yourself and your sin nature, which will result in, you know, your sins. But there again, we get forgiveness for that. That's what we're turning from. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Means we can't work our way to heaven. But I'm going to tell you what, true salvation. You know, we're dealing with our sins. You know, we're dealing with our sins. I didn't have any trouble when somebody came talk to me about being saved. Do you know that you're a sinner? You go, yes, sir, I do. Now, mind you now, I'm still in the mindset that, you know, that you're on your way to heaven unless you did too many sins, bad sins, right? I thought that. Well, good night. You know, of course, my sliding scale had gone up as I got older. You know, I was way up there. It had to be pretty bad, right? I mean, I was a good neighbor. Man, if somebody needed a hand with something, I'd help them. If they needed to borrow something, I'd let them borrow it. I helped out my neighbors that lived around me whenever I could. Saved my one next door neighbor, I saved his house from burning down. Man, ran over there, man, about got burned myself and got his, man, I wanted to help my neighbors. I thought, well, if you just said, well, you a pretty good guy? Yeah, I'm a pretty good guy. But I'm going to tell you what, I was lost as all get out, man. Huh? Running around, man, drinking, drugging, man, doing all kind of stupid stuff. Language wasn't the best. Had manners, though. Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Huh? Yeah. But you know what? Until somebody came and said, hey, man, and the preacher said, do you ever see yourself as a sinner? Yeah, I see myself as a sinner, but I didn't know I was lost. I said, you know what? He showed me. They came three times, and they showed me, hey, listen, you know what? Have you ever asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and come into your life? I hadn't. I believed in him all my life. I never asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins and come into my life. I said, man, he showed me in the Bible. Huh? Saved by grace. It was the grace of God. I wasn't going to get saved on the merit of my good works. What was I going to show him? Huh? What was I going to show? How could I get, you know, hey, what are you going to say? Hey, man, want to see some good look? I got some good weed back here. You want to see that? Huh? Look here, Lord. That's good stuff. I ain't selling people cheap stuff. It's good stuff. Huh? Yeah. Huh? Come on, man. You know? Huh? Yeah. Oh yeah, man. Well, I ain't drinking a bunch of liquor and running around drinking. I just drink beer every day. I'm not that bad, right? I mean, it was Coors Light. I mean, light is better than right. I mean, how? What was I going to show him? What was I going to show him? I didn't have any good works. Nothing. For by grace, the unmerited, undeserved favor of God, ye are saved. Huh? Not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, my good might outweigh my bad. It won't. Them scales will be sitting. You know how them scales, if you get them too far off, the heavy side could be sitting on the floor. Well, that's how all of us would look if we tried to weigh our good bad against our good. That's how all of it would look. We'd all be sitting down on the floor. We'd have no works. We couldn't brag about it. Well, I'm a good neighbor. Well, good for you. Huh? Good for you. You was a good neighbor, man. But what have you done with Jesus? What have you done with Jesus? Listen, our sins will find us out. Lost or saved, saved too, will find us out. All we can do is just come to Jesus and say, Lord, here it is. I couldn't do anything. I still had all these things going on in my life when I got saved. Well, you know, how was it all going to get taken care of? I did not know. Not my department. Huh? God started dealing with me, man. Different ways, different things. Took me away from a lot of the people that I was around. Huh? Convicted me. Just changed. A transformation took place within. So it's like another life. I don't see, that's another guy. He's dead. He died. That other me died. He was crucified with Christ. But now he lives, but as Christ lives within me. That's what happened to that guy. That doesn't exist anymore. I can look at him in a picture and say, that's not the same guy. No, that's what happened. All we can do is come to Jesus. Confess that we're sinners by birth. Ask for grace, ask for mercy, ask Jesus to forgive us of our sin. Now, real salvation produces good works. It produces repentance. I don't even think we can, I know. We can't truly repent. We can come to Christ in repentance in the sense that we're turning to God from our sin. But I'll tell you what, you can't get away from them until you're empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Now you've got the power. If you could get away from your sins, you wouldn't need Jesus. If you could quit sinning, you wouldn't need Christ. So what do? You say, Lord, I can't do a thing. Here it is. Turn it all over to Him. Look out. Turn it all over to Him. I need a new watch if anybody's wondering. Turn it all over to Him. That's all you can do. Say, Lord, here it is. I don't know how you're going to take care of the baggage. I don't know how you're going to take care of it. I saw somebody that used to go here, saw her yesterday. And she said, boy, I remember the time you came in. I didn't want to talk to you so bad, but my husband opened the door and let you and everything. And I wanted to straighten my life. I forgot I'd talked to her about it. But she said, I just wanted to straighten my life out. And then I was going to come to God or come to church. I said, it's like having a heart attack and waiting for the heart attack to end and then calling 911. I said, you call 911 while you're having a heart attack. I said, you need the Lord now. That's when we need the Lord, right? And so that's what we do. And we say, God, here it is. I don't know what to do about none of it. I'm going to put my trust and faith in you. And we need to, because if we don't, we can be sure that our sins will find us out. Let's all stand, heads bowed, and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for everyone being attentive this morning. Help us, Lord. Help us to be honest with you above all things and confess our sins to you, Lord. Help us to be honest and have that desire to repent, Lord. Give us strength, Lord, to turn from whatever we have in our life that's hindering you and hindering you from using us. And Lord, there's probably many things that hinder you from using us, Lord, but help us to turn from that. And we'll commit this invitation time into your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Our hymn of invitation is hymn 308, I Surrender All.
All to Jesus I surrender.